knees.
"It's ready," he said. "When do you want it activated?"
3 a.m., and I'll need 30 minutes to remove all this,"
the elderly peer added, touching his double chin.
"If I'm to have enough time to get to my other cabin."
Brendan returned to the trunk and set the timer for 3 o'clock.
"All you have to do is flick the switch just before you leave and double check that the second hand is moving. Then you'll have 30 minutes.
So what can go wrong?
If the lilies are still in Mrs. Clifton's cabin, nothing. No one on this corridor and probably no one on the deck below can hope to survive. There's 6 pounds of dynamite embedded in the soil beneath those flowers, far more than we need. But at least that way we can be sure of collecting our money.
Have you got my key?"
"Yes," said Brendan. "Cabin 706. You'll find your new passport and ticket under the pillow."
"Anything else I ought to be worrying about?"
"No, just make sure the second hand is moving before you leave."
Doherty smiled.
"See you back in Belfast."
Harry unlocked the cabin door and stood aside to allow Emma to enter first. She bent down to smell the lilies the Queen Mother had sent to celebrate the launch of MV Buckingham.
"I'm exhausted," she said, standing up. "I don't know how the Queen Mother manages it day in and day out."
"It's what she does, and she's good at it. But I bet she'd be exhausted if she tried a few days of being chairman of Barrington's."
"I'd still rather have my job than hers," said Emma,
as she stepped out of her dress and hung it up in the wardrobe before disappearing into the bathroom. Harry read the card from HRH the Queen Mother once again. Such a personal message. Emma had already decided to put the vase in her office when they got back to Bristol and to fill it with lilies every Monday morning. Harry smiled, and why not? When Emma came out of the bathroom, Harry took her place and closed the door behind him. She slipped off her dressing gown and climbed into bed, far too tired even to consider reading a few pages of The Spy Who Came In From the Cold by a new author Harry had recommended. She switched off the light by the side of her bed and said, "Good night, darling," even though she knew Harry couldn't hear her. By the time Harry came out of the bathroom, she was sound asleep. He tucked her in as if she were a child, kissed her on the forehead, and whispered,
"Good night, my darling,"
then climbed into his bed, amused by her gentle purr. He would never have dreamed of suggesting that she snored. He lay awake, so proud of her. The launch of the new liner couldn't have gone better. He turned on his side, assuming he'd drift off within moments. But although his eyes were leaden and he felt exhausted, he couldn't get to sleep. Something wasn't right. Another man, now safely back in cabin class, was also wide awake. Although it was 3 in the morning and his job was done, he wasn't trying to sleep. He was just about to go to work. Always the same anxieties whenever you have to wait. Had you left any clues that would lead straight to you? Had you made any mistakes that will cause the operation to end in failure and make you a laughingstock back home? He wouldn't relax until he was on a lifeboat, and better still, on another ship, heading towards another port. 5 minutes and 14 seconds. He knew his compatriots, soldiers in the same cause, would be just as nervous as he was. The waiting was always the worst part. Out of your control, no longer anything you could do. 4 minutes and 11 seconds. Worse than a football match when you're 1-0 up, but you know the other side are stronger and well capable of scoring in injury time. He recalled his area commander's instructions. When the alarm goes off, be sure you're among the first on deck and the first in the lifeboats, because by this time tomorrow, they'll be searching for anyone under the age of 35 with an Irish accent. So keep your mouths shut, boys. 3 minutes and 40 seconds. 39. He stared at the cabin door and imagined the worst that could possibly happen. The bomb wouldn't go off. The door would burst open, and a dozen police thugs, possibly more, would come charging in, batons flailing in every direction, not caring how many times they hit him. But all he could hear was the rhythmical pounding of the engine as the Buckingham continued its sedate passage across the Atlantic on its way to New York.